Blog Talk Radio.
Our striving would be losing.
Good morning, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother, your host, your servant in Christ, and I go by the moniker Radio Reformer, Radio Reformer. Well, we're back in studio after a two-day absence, and we purposely stayed away for 2 days because we have been putting out these propositions one after another, and we had to give you, our listenership, some time to catch up because we had done about three broadcasts that had not yet been listened to the way we expect you to listen to them. The numbers reflected. So I took 2 days off to write and pray and to do our other broadcast. As you know, we have another broadcast on Block Talk Radio where we feed people every single day. That broadcast is called Daily Manna from Heaven. And that's the broadcast in which we give you 2 hours of church every day. 2 hours of church. 2 hours of praise and worship. 2 hours of the Word. And we provide you with the manna that God gives to us. We give it to you. It's called Daily Manna from Heaven. We're on the air 7 days a week with Daily Manna from Heaven. And that's the broadcast in which we feed the sheep. And this is the broadcast in which we protect the sheep. So if you need to get fed, and we feed you. We feed you till you can't eat anymore. I mean, we do in the 2 hour segment of Daily Manna from Heaven, we give you a half hour teaching on the doctrine of God. Because if you know God, then you won't get deceived. See, the hoodwinkers on Daystar Network and the Word Network and the Impact Network and God TV and TBN, those people claim that God told them to tell you that you need to sow. But you see, if you have your theology proper down pat, and by theology proper we mean the doctrine of God, if you know God biblically, then you won't pay these hoodwinkers any mind. So we give you a half hour on the doctrine of God, a half hour on prayer. We teach you about prayer. We teach you a half hour on what is the church, and a half hour on leadership. And that makes the two-hour broadcast. 30 minutes on God, 30 minutes on prayer. Because, you see, the reason why we teach you 30 minutes about prayer is because you need to realize that everything you need to get from your Heavenly Father, you get it simply by asking and not sowing. You see, again, the hoodwinkers want you to sow. They want to clean you out. They want you to just clean out your bank account and give it to them. But those people don't represent God, because God says that whatever you need from Him, you don't get it by sowing. That's not how you activate God. You get it by praying. So we give you a half hour on the doctrine of God, a half hour on the ministry of prayer, a half hour on what is the church, and a half hour on what is leadership, because we're hoping to raise up some leadership for the Lord. Because we believe that God is going to be pulling some of you out of these crazy churches, and you're going to be starting house churches. And we're here to assist you. We here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church are here to assist you. If you're going to start a home church, we'll help you. We'll help you. And by helping you doesn't mean that we provide covering. We don't provide covering. That's erroneous teaching. We don't provide covering. We provide assistance. We provide guidance. We provide scripture. We don't provide covering. You know, one young man came up to me one time and said, you're such a good man. I want you to be my bishop. I said, well, I can't be a bishop, but I can be a friend. I can be your big brother in the Lord. I don't need to be your bishop to give you what you need. Well, everybody has a bishop. Everybody has a covering. Well, let Jesus be your covering and let me be your elder brother. And whatever you need, I can give it to you in Christ Jesus. So we the whole covering thing is just nonsense. Because even the people who claim to be providing you covering, their lives are so messed up. You look at their lives, and their lives are in shambles. And yet they want to be your covering. Yet they want to tell you when you can breathe and when you can yawn and when you can raise your hand and when you can go to the bathroom. So we don't provide that. We don't provide bondage. We're a Christ-centered, Christ-only church. That's it. Solo Christus. Christ Jesus is the archipointment, the chief shepherd. And all I am is a radio shepherd, a radio reformer, that's all. Holding the fort, taking care of the flock, until the chief shepherd appears, and he shall appear. He shall appear. He's been prophesied to appear. And we await his arrival. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm giving you time to catch up. As you know, we're putting books out. We have purposed 12 books out this year dealing with the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We have already put two out. And the 12 books that we're putting out are designed to bring the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church to a grinding halt. That is the purpose. That is the purpose. And so 12 books. We already put out two. We put out two books. The first is Jackass Church Bishops. Jackass Church Bishops. And the second book is Nehushtan Church Bishops. And you can get a copy of those books in a PDF format only. We don't have them in paperback and we don't have them in hardcover, but you can get them in a PDF format, which means you can read them on your tablet, you can read them on your laptop. It's an electronic book. Basically, when I say PDF, I'm telling you it's electronic. We email you the entire book, and you can read it, you can read it, you can read it, and you can be blessed. And you can have those two books for a donation of $15 each. And when you do so, you will be supporting what we do here. There are costs in what we do here. There are costs. So when you make a donation, when you go to our website, and our website is paganbishops.com, when you go there, you'll see, and the website is simple. It's a one-page website. On one side, you'll see the book being advertised, Jackass Church Bishops. You have a write-up of the book, and then you have a donate button. And then in the middle of the page, you'll have Nehushtan Church Bishops. And you have a write-up of that book. It tells you what the book is about. Then there's a donate button on the bottom of that, and you click there, and you donate. And, I purchased this book called The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. I purchased it because as a polemicist, as an apologist, I need to quote the people that I am waging spiritual apologetics against. You know, we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. So I purchased this book. It cost me $20 with shipping and handling. And the book is really 95 pages, but it's double space, which means that If you were really to do this, if you were to do this book right, this book was not done right. But if you were to do this book right, this book, if you remove all of the double spacing, this book would be 50 pages. And I paid $20. I paid $20 for 50. What is in essence a 50-page book, a worthless book at that. It has no footnotes. It has no endnotes. This is gibberish. This is what we call in the world of academia, in the world of theology, in the world of study. This book is what we call gibberish. This is gibberish, nonsense. This is asinine hee-hawing. That's why I titled one of the books Jackass Church Bishops, because when you listen to them, they're like jackasses hee-hawing in the pasture. And I thought this book was going to be something else, because I did some research on the guy. Supposedly he has 3 doctorates. You can't tell by reading this book. You can't tell. You can't tell that this guy was ever asked to write a doctoral thesis, or even a thesis at the master's level, or even a thesis at the bachelor's level. There are some institutions of higher learning, some Bible colleges, depending on your degree, you're required to write a thesis for your bachelor's degree. Now, it's not a huge thesis, but nonetheless, it's a thesis. It's what we call a dissertation. Well, this book by the the archbishop, the chief prelate of the organization, this wouldn't even qualify as a thesis on an associate's level. Like I said, this is just gibberish. And I paid $20. I paid $20 for this book. I thought that I was going to get something like what we put out, like Jackass Bishops. Jackass Bishops is almost 200 pages and almost 200 footnotes. Nehushtan Church Bishops is close to 300 pages and close to 300 footnotes. That's a book. See, that's a book. A book with footnotes is a book. But this book doesn't have one footnote, not one. And from what I can tell, it only cites one scripture, and that's Acts 2:4. This is gibberish. And yet I paid $20 for this. But when you get our books, are phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. So when you purchase the books, when you go to our website, when you click on the donate button, we will send you a PDF copy of Jackass Church Bishops and a copy of Nehushtan Church Bishops, and you are going to be blessed when you read these books. And that is your way of supporting the ministry. Now, yesterday I got an email. Someone was upset with the last proposition that we did. And, of course, the person who was upset is a babe in Christ, throwing a tantrum like babies do. Babies throw tantrums. And they were mad because I called the leading spokesman of the Joint College of African American Bishops. I called the voices that give that institution their words. I call them a blackhead. And look, folks, if you're gonna get mad, don't tune in. If you this is serious talk here. There are lives on the line. There are souls in the balance. If you're going to get mad, you know, I'm pretty sure that the Antichrist is mad because God called him the little horn, you know, with the big mouth, the little horn with the big mouth in the book of Daniel. I'm sure when the Antichrist reads the book of Daniel, he is piping mad. Because God said, look at him, look at the Antichrist. He thinks he's something special, but he's nothing but the little horn who speaks blasphemous things. Well, for me to call the spokespeople of the Joint College of African American Bishops, for me not to call them a little horn, but to call them a blackhead on the face of the Roman Catholic Church, what can I tell you? I mean, I call them as I see them. So if you're going to get offended, let me encourage you not to tune in. Your emails are infantile, and they're silly. They're just silly. You know, when you say to me, touch not the Lord's anointed, you need to go to school. You don't know you don't even know what you're talking about. That's just silly talk. That's just like a parrot in a cage, just parroting something that it's heard. But you don't even know what that means, touch not the Lord's anointed. So I get amused when I get these silly emails. And well, you know, I guess you can call it free speech. Well, I wanna welcome my audience from the US, from Canada to the north. I want to welcome my brothers in Germany, in England, in Norway, in Zambia, in Barbados, our brethren in South Africa who are tuning in. I mean, we get them pretty much from all over the place. And here in the United States, I mean, we're coast to coast. We get people who tune in from the West Coast, the East Coast, the South, the North. You know, we get them from all over the place. So, and yes, I did get another email yesterday on how people can support this ministry. We never ask for donations on this broadcast. Although, when you go to our website, there is a donate button there if you like to donate to the broadcast. There is. We don't announce it on the radio broadcast. We just encourage people to go to our website. And like I said, our website is just one page. And you can see there what we're offering you as far as the books. And then there is a section to the right, a column in the right, that talks about the radio broadcast and what we're doing on the radio broadcast. And if you want to donate, so that's as much as I'll say. If you want to donate, if you want to be a blessing to this ministry, if you want to ensure that we stay on the air and you want to give something on a monthly basis, well, it's right there on the website. It's right there on the website. Like I said, we don't spend any broadcast time talking about it. We feel that if someone appreciates the broadcast and would want to do something, then we would ask that God would touch them. Because we don't want to be accused. We don't want to be accused of using up airtime to beg for money. And we don't beg. We don't beg. That's why we would rather make these books available for donation. And when we use that money from your donations for the books to keep us going. And again, we just trust in the Lord. So go to paganbishops.com. That's the name of the website, paganbishops.com. You can read up on the two books. You can read up on the broadcast and how you can donate. It's very simple. There's just a button there. You just click on the button and you can donate via PayPal. Very, very simple. And we do appreciate when you purchase the books, and we do appreciate when you donate. We appreciate it, and we thank you for it. And it lets us know that you appreciate what we do and that you would like us to remain on the air. Now, we've been putting forth these propositions, And like I said, you know, I'm going. I know that I'm driving 95 miles per hour. I know that. I know that some of you who listen to the Daily Manna broadcast and are getting 2 hours a day and you're taking notes, because we also on Daily Manna have an online school of ministry on Saturdays, and then we have a service on Sunday. So we're on the air on Daily Manna every single day. I get that. And you guys get the outlines. We email you 23 outlines for the entire week. And so we know that you are being fed and fed well at Daily Manna. And then we do almost 2 hours here every day. So that'll be 4 hours a day, and we have to give you some time to catch up. So that's why I decided not to record for 2 days in a row, just to give you some breathing room. And don't forget that this coming Friday, every Friday I am on with Sister Marie, my co-host, and we're going to be doing a broadcast this Friday entitled The Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity. The Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity, Uncoiling the Snake, Uncoiling the Serpent. Now, you're probably asking yourself, who is this prophetess who is the mystery of iniquity? Well, it's a series that Sister Marie is going to start on Friday. And as you know, you guys can't wait for Friday. And how do I know that? Because the numbers reflect that. The listening audience, I mean, every Friday we get our best numbers when it comes to listenership. That's a fact. It's a call-in broadcast, and I know you guys love it. And so this coming Friday, Sister Marie is going to start a new series entitled The Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity, Uncoiling the Snake, Uncoiling the Serpent. And I can't tell you who the prophetess is. I can't tell you. And you can guess all you want. I can tell you it's not Juanita Bynum and it's not Paula White. Those two nuts don't even come close. They don't even come close. They're not worthy to be in the same devilish conversation as the woman Sister Marie has dubbed as the prophetess of the mystery of iniquity. So, my brothers and sisters, we have for you today proposition number 12. And as you know, we have what we call rules of engagement. And let me just remind you what the rules of engagement are, what they are. Now, when we present to you a proposition, when we come on the broadcast, because we devote one broadcast to one proposition. We don't do two propositions in one broadcast. We only do one. And we are scheduled to bring before you 95 propositions, 95 bullet points, 95 of them, which are designed to expose what's going on in the institutional black church in America. 95 bullet points. It's our version of the 95 thesis. As you know, Martin Luther put out his 95 thesis, right? This coming October 31st will mark this year, 2017, on October 31st, which is what, 6 months from now? Will mark the 500th anniversary that Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis on the door of Wittenberg Castle Church. So we're putting out our own version, a contemporary version, a version that is tailor-made to the malpractices and abuses and heresies that are in the church today. Because many of the propositions that Martin Luther put forth in his thesis, in his document, are irrelevant today. They're irrelevant. So we had to come up with 95 that would address the scandals and the abuses and the malpractices and the conning and the heresy in the Church of the Lord. And so, yes, they are stinging. They are stinging bullet points. Yes, they're designed to get the members of the Joint College of Heretical Bishops thinking and talking and conversing and debating. And to date, we've invited them. I've been telling these guys to call in the broadcast or to please show their face, say something. Supposedly, from what you read on their website and what you read in the books and what you hear from them on video on YouTube is that they are loaded with scholars. Well, you can't tell that. I can't tell that the chief prelate of their organization is a scholar, although his website says he has 3 doctorate degrees, all earned. Well, I can't tell he possesses a doctorate when he writes a book that wouldn't even qualify as a thesis for an associate's degree. And there's no such thing as a thesis being written for an associate's degree, but an associate's degree is just a 2-year degree. And this little 95-page book, which is really a 50-page book, which is really a saddle staple book, this is gibberish. This is circus talk. This is the kind of talk, this is the kind of writing put together by a carny, by one of those circus midgets. That, I mean, I'm just being honest. A circus midget, because this is the writing of a mental midget. And I know I've been involved in academia all of my life. And those of you who know me, you know I don't talk nonsense. A lot of you in the Joint College of Bishops, you know me. You know my pedigree. You just know I can put a whooping on you. You just know that I'm an old junkyard dog waiting to get back in the fight, waiting to get back in the ring. You know me. And you know you don't want to mess with me. Not because I'm something special, but simply because when the anointing of God comes upon me, I become another man. You know what I'm talking about. You have seen me in action for years. And like Moses, I have forsaken Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No. I'd rather be on the backside of a mountain, living in complete obscurity, than to be marching with a bunch of circus clowns. Well, here are the rules of engagement. Even for this old junkyard dog, here are the rules of engagement. Because of my love for Christ and my love for his church and my love for the souls of men and for my love of truth, I present to you the Church of Christ Universal and to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops the following 95 propositions, which are designed to expose and bring to a grinding halt the current and ongoing Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. Each proposition, I grant you, is brief. It's just a bullet point, a short statement. As you know, I have preferred not to use names wherever possible. wherever possible, because I don't want people to say that I am making this I'm making this a personal problem, even though I don't have an issue with any member. I do not have a personal issue with any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. I do have an issue with their doctrine, and I do have an issue with their deeds. I hate their doctrine, and I hate their deeds, just like the Lord Jesus hated the doctrine and the deeds of the Nicolaitans, according to Revelation 2:6 and Revelation 2:15. In presenting each one of these propositions, I do expect, and so does the body of Christ, we expect from the Joint College of African American Bishops a timely and academic response. Since they claim to be loaded with scholars, we expect to hear an academic response and a timely one. It shouldn't take months to respond to a single proposition. If you have what it takes, you can respond to it right on the spot. Right on the spot. You don't have to have an all-night prayer meeting to respond to a proposition. No, if you're really what you claim you are, then you shouldn't have an issue. You shouldn't have an issue responding to these propositions immediately. You know, we have yet to hear anyone respond to jackass church bishops or to Nehushtan church bishops. We have yet to hear anyone respond. Does it surprise us? No, it doesn't surprise us, because these guys are just a lot of hot air. That's all they are. I was shocked. I'll tell you, I was shocked. When I ordered this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, I tell you, I purchased books almost every day. I'm a bibliophile. I'm a bookworm. And I kept asking the postman. I kept waiting. I know when the postman comes, so here I am waiting, looking. Here comes the postman. He pulls a couple of letters out of his bag, and I said, "That's it? There's no book?" "Oh, no book." And then finally, one day, I missed the postman, and I'm looking for the mail, and I'm saying, "No mail today, nothing." And there was a cardboard right next to my door. I kid you not, a thin cardboard, and it had a label on it, and it was from the book company. I thought they were sending me a letter that the book was out of print, or that they were gonna have to, you know, send it to me later, back order, whatever. And when I open up the envelope, when I open up the cardboard, I see the book. I mean, the book was, a couple of pieces of paper. That's a book? That's what I paid $20 for? That's it? That's it? That's not a book. This is like a Kenneth Copeland pamphlet. A Kenneth Hagin little pamphlet. That's what this thing looked like. That's it? That's what this man with the three doctorate degrees wrote? This is it? Incoherent gibberish? This nonsense? This is it? Well, that was it. Well, let's go to proposition number 12. And you see, for each one of these propositions, these guys over there at the Joint College of Bishops, they don't have an answer. That's why you're hearing crickets from them. That's why you're not hearing, and we're not getting any kind of response from them. Because they know that they cannot come against these propositions. Now, proposition number 12. states, the Joint College of African American Bishops being an institution created solely by man. Again, the Joint College of African American Bishops being an institution created solely by man for the glory of man is destined to get such spiritual diseases as the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtanism, which are the combined causes of spiritual death among the members of this anti-Christian association. This misguided anti-Christian association. Let me read it again. The Joint College of African American Bishops, being an institution created solely by man for the glory of man, is destined to get such spiritual diseases as the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtanism, which are the combined causes of spiritual death among the members of this anti-Christian, misguided association. Now, I need to prove to you first and foremost that this institution, this organization, this clerical body, this corpus, this religious association is nothing more than a man-made creation. And if it's man-made, then it's not of God. It's not of God. Now, how can I prove this to you? How can I prove this to you? Well, I can take their own words. For example, if I was to go to the website, their official website of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Let me read to you what their official website says so that you can see that this was not of God. This was a man-made institution. It says, and this is their official website, so you can Google it. You can go to the website of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, and you'll find this right there. I'm looking at their website right now. It says in November 1993. Now I need you to write that down. November 1993. Did you write that down? That's very important. I need you to write that down. Trust me when I tell you that this is important. In November of 1993, four bishops of the Pentecostal community had a conversation while traveling to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, regarding the need for training of Pentecostal bishops elect for the office to which they had been called. That's the first paragraph. Let me jump to the second paragraph. And by jumping to the second paragraph, I am not reading all of the first paragraph. So let me let you know. Okay, so that's the first thing I wanted to let you know, that there were four bishops from the Pentecostal community on their way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in November 1993. And again, I'm just reading from their website. I didn't write this, I'm just reading it. In the second paragraph it says it was this observation, along with their devotion to the office of episcopacy, that motivated these four bishops to do something about their discomforts. They were vexed. They were discomforted. They were bothered over the fact that episcopacy had some issues. Their solution was to form an organization. See that? So I need you to write down, their solution was to form an organization. See, they created it. They created an organization. They formed it. This was not, remember when the Bible says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth? See, there are things that God creates, and there are things that man creates. Well, these four men, they were bothered, they were discomforted, they were vexed over the fact that episcopacy in the black Pentecostal church was not what it should be. So in order to solve the problem, see, it says their solution, and let me read this, let me start again from the second paragraph. It says, it was this observation, along with their devotion to the office of episcopacy, that motivated these four bishops to do something about their discomforts. Their solution was to form an organization later called the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Initially, they envisioned this organization offering education, training, and accountability to all those that directed their hopes and ambitions towards obtaining the office of a bishop in the local church. So notice, it tells you when this thing was formed, in November 1993. That's the first paragraph. And in the second paragraph, it tells you their solution for their discomforts was to form an organization, which later came to be called the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Now, paragraph 3. It was during this initial conception and inception gathering, and motivated by a sense of urgency, that those bishops, and I'm going to leave them nameless, the website names them, but I'm going to leave the four men nameless. It was motivated by a sense of urgency that those bishops agreed that presiding bishop so-and-so, primate of so-and-so Churches of Christ, should serve as a chairman and conveyor of a college of bishops for Pentecostal prelates with a special emphasis on African American bishops. Okay? So, when was this thing formed according to the official website? November 1993. Who was involved? Four bishops. Where were they? On their way to the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What happened? Well, they being bothered, they being discomforted over the fact that the black church didn't have an organized episcopacy, decided they came up with a solution to form an organization, which they later called You Know What. As a result of this meeting between the four, they decided that one person would be the chief prelate, the so-called archbishop, metropolitan, and conveyor of this special college of bishops. Okay, so that's the official website. Now, there's a problem. We have a problem. Another source tells a different story. See, another source tells a different story. And you might be saying that I'm nitpicking, but I'm not nitpicking because, again, let me take you to the book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. And the reason why I need to take you to that book, written by one of these four men, by the way, who had been chosen to lead the group. Now, the guy who wrote The Bishopric is the one mentioned on the website who is tapped to lead the group and to organize it and to get it going. Okay? So there were four guys. The four guys had what we call an internal election, and they elected one to be their leader. Their leader happens to be the gentleman who wrote this gibberish called The Bishopric. Okay, now, in his book, on page 17, which happens to be chapter 1. Chapter 1 is entitled In the Beginning. Now, when you hear the phrase in the beginning, when you hear the phrase in the beginning, what does it remind you of? Well, it reminds you of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So now, he documents in the book, what was supposedly stated in the website. But this is a different version. Let me read. This is page 17. I don't know why they can't get their story straight. On the website, it says, in November 1993, four bishops of the Pentecostal community had a conversation while traveling to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, regarding the need for training of Pentecostal bishop-elects for the office to which they had been called. In November 1993, four bishops of the Pentecostal community traveling. Well. On page 17, in the beginning, seems to be a different beginning. It says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994. Now, you see this? Do you see the discrepancy? In the website, it says, in November 1993. In November 1993, four bishops. Here, in the book, Creating Episcopacy, it says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignias for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop so-and-so and Archbishop so-and-so from Brooklyn, New York, and Bishop so-and-so from Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. Another lengthy conversation, after a lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop so-and-so of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop so-and-so from Louisiana expressed his desire to join these men in forming this College of Bishops, over which Bishop so-and-so was elected to preside over this venture. The name chosen was the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. So, we have two different creation dates. One is November 1993, and another is one summer afternoon in 1994. Now, they need to get their story straight, number one. And number two, because the website contradicts the book and the book contradicts the website. Putting that aside, and who knows, these four men, one of them is deceased. The other three are up in age, so who knows if they even remember. But what is pertinent is that both the official website and the book tells you that this organization is created by man. God had nothing to do with this. It's just four men being upset over the fact that they are bishops, but they are not recognized like other bishops in other so-called reformations. That's all this was about. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, all you have to do is read their own documentation and you can discover that this thing was man-made. God had nothing to do with this. This was flesh. What created this institution, and I argue this, is worldly ambition. to be like the world, to be dressed in such a way that people will say, oh, that guy's a religious big shot. That guy must be somebody, because look at the way he's dressed. He, you know, and people who dress like that in the Roman Catholic Church, they're somebody big. And people dress like that in the Anglican Church, they're something big. So that's what these black guys wanted. That's what these Hamite preachers wanted. That's what these Cushite preachers wanted. They wanted worldly recognition. They were bothered. They were discomforted. They were being vexed over the fact that they had bishoprics that amounted to nothing because they didn't have the high-end clothing. This is why, you see, in the book, on page 17, see, it says, look what it says on page 17, in case you missed it the first time. One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignias for the Episcopal office. See, they were on their way to Philadelphia to buy monkey suits. And while they were there, they said, you know what? We're getting this, but, you know, this isn't even, we're getting dressed up this way, and our own people don't even respect it. With, you know, so let's create an organization where we can get everybody to look like us and be under us. And we can make a name for ourselves. We can make an Episcopal Babel. We can create an elevation mill. Is it making sense now, dear saints? Is it coming into focus? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, how do we know that this is a man-made organization, a man-made institution? How do we know that? Well, you go to the official website and read it, and you can, your reading comprehension will lead you to believe that it's a man-made organization. Go to the Metropolitan's book, the bishopric, and you read page 17, and you will discover that these men formed this organization. They formed it. That's what they did. And the title of the chapter is In the Beginning. In the beginning what? In the beginning we created. Not God created. In the beginning God created. No, it's not God. In the beginning four numbnuts created episcopacy in the black church. Four. In the beginning, four. That's why the chapter in the book is chapter one, like Genesis 1, and it begins by saying, in the beginning. That's the title. Do you understand? Do you understand? Now, if that doesn't convince you, then just go to the title of the book, The Bishopric. What is it called? The Bishopric. That's the main title. The secondary title is A Handbook on What? What is it a handbook on? On creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. So even in the secondary title, they're telling you, what are we doing? We are creating something. The organization is man-made. Now, let's go back to the proposition, because I've already proven to you. And I can't wait to debate these guys. Can't wait to debate them. I can't reveal all of my ammunition in these broadcasts, because then they'll know what's coming in the debate. So I'm just showing a few things. So here, Proposition 12. Let's go back to Proposition 12. The Joint College of African American Bishops, being an institution created solely by man, four guys did this. Now, why did they create it? For the glory of man. It wasn't for the glory of Christ. It wasn't for the glory of God. It's for the glory of man. I want to take you back to the website. Let me take you back to the website. I want to read something to you in case you missed it. Because I do parse sentences. I do look at words. Words have meaning. Words have meaning. In the second paragraph of the website, it goes, it says, the first line, the first sentence in the second paragraph. Let's read. It was this observation along with their devotion to God. Does it say that? No. It was this observation along with their devotion to the office of episcopacy. Now, to be devoted to something other than God is idolatry. See, this is why we must read sentences and break down its meaning. It says, it was this observation along with their devotion, not to God, not to Christ, but their devotion to the office of episcopacy that motivated these four bishops to do something about their discomforts. Well, what does the Apostle Paul say? These men claim to be the successors of the apostles. What does the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle Paul says, whatsoever you do in word and in deed, let it be all to the glory of Christ. These men didn't create this office to the glory of Christ. They were creating it because they were devoted to the idea. They were worshiping episcopacy. They were infatuated with episcopacy. They were enamored with episcopacy. What is episcopacy? Ecclesiastical hierarchy. You see, what is episcopacy in the Roman Catholic Church? What is episcopacy in the Anglican Church? It's simply having kings over the peons in the church. In the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, you have kings. They're called bishops. And then you have peons. They're called members. The kings live like kings, and the peons live like peons. That's what they were shooting for. That's what they wanted. They wanted to live like kings and enslave the rest of us. So it was never to the glory of God. It was created by man for the glory of man. That's why I keep telling you it's an episcopal babble. They said unto themselves, like they said in Nimrod's day, let us build us a tower and let us make a name for ourselves. The episcopal office, they can tell you, is to the glory of God, but you don't see God getting any of the glory. Do you see God getting any glory? No. In fact, they're robbing God of his glory. Because now they're telling you that you cannot hug a bishop, can't show affection to a bishop, unless you bow before a bishop and you kiss their ring. That is idolatry. That is, when you do that, you've been initiated into idolatry. So none of this is to the glory of Christ, but to the glory of man. So let's go back to proposition number 12 as I break it down. The Joint College of African American Bishops, being an institution created solely by man, and there's four men, you can go to the website, you can go to their website and write down the four names. Created solely by man for the glory of man, is destined to get such spiritual diseases as the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehustianism, which are the combined causes of spiritual death among the members of this anti-Christian, misguided association. Why do I say that this body, because that's what a college is. When you look at the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia, the word college is synonymous with body. A body, a corpus, an association. Those are all the terms which are synonymous with college. It has, in this case, the Joint College of African American Bishops doesn't have anything to do with school. The word college there means association slash corpus slash body slash club. See, that's what a college is. You belong to this club. It's a club for elite people in the church. And so now this club, this college, this corpus, this body, and think of a body, right? When somebody is lying down, I've been teaching this week on daily manna, on healing prayers, and I've been talking about when Jesus went to Peter's house, and there Peter's mother laid, and she had, as Luke tells us in his gospel, she had a great fever. Enter Simon Peter's house, and there in plain view is Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She's bedridden with a great fever. So when I look at the Joint College of Bishops, it's a body. It's a corpus. It's a unit. I would compare it to the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his body. Christ is the head. The church is the body. Now, the joint college, since it does not have as its head the Lord Jesus Christ, it has two heads, right? We talked about this in Proposition 11. It has two heads, one head being the Pope, the other head being the Queen of England. And then it has a black head. The blackhead being the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, this body, this institution, if you will, is bound, destined to get three diseases. The first is the purple plague. What is the purple plague? Well, everybody gets the desire, everybody gets the itch, and it needs to be scratched. It's a spiritual itch. It's like when Paul speaks of in the last days, people shall heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. Well, these bishops have an itch which needs to be scratched, and I call this the purple plague. And the purple plague is the first rung, is the first level in this episcopal babble. This purple plague is when you become a bishop, because the colors for a bishop are purple. Whether it be English purple, which is simply the purple of the Anglican Church, or whether it be Roman purple, which is the purple of the Roman Catholic Church. See, either way, you're going to get as a bishop, and in this book, Jackass. In this book entitled The Bishopric, he has chapters. See, here in chapter 7 of the book The Bishopric, the chapter is entitled Levitical Vestments, Code of Dress. And he tells you, listen, if you're a bishop, you can wear purple. See, that's the first level. That's the first level of sickness. It's a spiritual sickness. I call it not the black plague, which decimated medieval Europe, but I call it the purple plague, which is decimating the 21st century black church. The purple plague. And let me tell you something. This purple plague is a pandemic. It's a global pandemic. Everybody now, when you visit England, now you have black preachers in England. They too want to be bishops. They too want to wear the purple shirt. That's right. Everybody wants to be a bishop. Everyone wants to get the purple plague. And it's contagious, spreads It is a pandemic. Not an epidemic, but a pandemic. It's everywhere. It's global. Now, once you have the purple plague, once you become a bishop, then you get the itch to keep going up the episcopal ladder. See, you're just not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied with just being a bishop. Maybe after 5 years, maybe after 6 years, you start noticing that some of your bishop friends are now going to be made archbishops. So now what do you get? Well, you get scarlet fever. Why scarlet fever? Because these archbishops now, according to the book of canon law and according to this dopey little book, The Bishopric, now you can wear scarlet garments if you're an archbishop. Scarlet garments. You see, the different colors just speaks of a different rank. That's all it is. Different colors point to a different rank. It's like you have a 2-star general or you have a 5-star general, right? And you know the difference between a private. A private has one stripe. And what's the difference between a private and a sergeant? A sergeant has 3 stripes on his sleeve. Well, again, the different stripes and the different colors testify to a different rank. So now people don't want to be left behind. People don't want to stay at the same place. They don't want to remain bishops forever. At some point in time, they too get the itch. They too get the fever to become an archbishop. And that's when you get scarlet fever. Scarlet. And you just drive everybody crazy. Because now you're archbishop designate. And everybody around you becomes infected with this thing that you're going to be made an archbishop. You see? Now, what happens when the scarlet fever takes over? Well, you become archbishop. But then what's the next thing? Well, then you get dementia nehushtanism. Now, the next thing for you to become is a god. Is a god. That's the next thing. You see, that is the next thing in the church, for you to become a god. And that's why I wrote the book, Nehushtan Church Bishops, because I document the process. I document how you go from one level of Episcopal Babel and how you keep going high, because it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not. See, you don't make a name for yourself by staying down at the base of the tower. You make a name for yourself as you keep going higher. Dementia. You're actually crazy now. Now, you actually stick your hand out and expect people to bow and to kiss your ring finger. When that comes upon you, when you start thinking that you're that important, and then you demand that people call you your holiness, that people call you your grace, now you have dementia, nehushtanism. Now, you become a human idol. And all of these three, the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia, nehushtanism, when you combine all three, they are the cause of spiritual death among the members of this anti-Christian association. That's what it is. You see, so it's a man-made organization which will get these diseases, and these, I'm telling you folks, there's no inoculation for these diseases. They're right now, when you look at the black church, if you were to take the black church and say, okay, this is a body, when you look at the black church, it is running with the highest scarlet fever. It has succumbed to the purple plague. And its pastors actually think they're little gods. And all of these three combined will destroy and kill the black church. It'll bring the black church to its spiritual death. And remember, a couple of days ago, I played for you some audio showing you how the Church of Rome is already dead. People don't even attend the Roman Catholic masses anymore. The attendance is so poor, it's so low. Why? Because people know that that institution is dead. The Church of England is suffering the same fate. People rather go to a soccer game. What they call football in England, the soccer stadiums are jammed packed. They are jammed packed. I mean, the soccer stadiums do not suffer from sitting fannies in the seats. But you go to an Anglican church and it's empty. Why? Because the people have already figured out this thing is dead. What killed it? What killed it? What killed it? Scarlet fever. What killed it? Dementia, Nehushtanism. Those three things combined. And folks, this is coming to your church if it isn't already there. And they're going to introduce the liturgy. They're going to introduce the reading of the Apostles' Creed. They're going to introduce so many spirit killing parts to a service that you're going to have to conclude, my church is dead. And what killed it? When they introduced episcopacy. Four men introduced this disease, which came upon them. They were on their way to go get insignias, and they were on their way to go get robes. And these four men were the carriers of this disease. And look how far and wide it has spread in the black church. And your church has already been infected. Your church has the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia Nehushtanism already in it. Why? Because if you have a bishop who's a member of the Joint College of Bishops, your church has already been infected. It is on the way down. Now, let me play some audio for you. Let me just show you. Now, here's a woman. Here's Lexi. And she's interviewing. Now, the man who's speaking right now, according to the official website of the Joint College of African American Bishops, and according to this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, the man who is speaking right now after Lexi is one of these four men. And I want you to hear, and this was put out. This video was done in 2012. So you do the math. If you go from 1994 to 2012, you do the math. That is 18 years after the organization was started. And I want you to hear this man, and I want you to hear how he's telling. Now, he's one of the persons who introduced the purple plague, the scarlet fever, the dementia, and the Nehushtanism. He's one of the first four carriers. And I want you to hear him say how this thing is out of control. Listen to him.
Can you just start us off and speak to it?
Well, first of all, it's totally out of order, and that's what's happening. I'll deal with the bishop, first of all, because I think that is totally out of order. If that is going to happen, the title, there has to be somebody who validates you, first of all, and I really believe that the validation begins even with your church. You have to, first of all, have a successful church and the ability to lead other pastors. In full gospel, a bishop for us is a pastor's pastor. So if you're not a successful pastor and can't lead pastors, then you should not have the title of bishop. And what's happening, people are going online, getting papers, breaking the rules. I mean, we've had people get out of our fellowship and just say I want to be a bishop because, you know, there's a process that you have to go through.
And it took too long.
Yes, it took too long. And I.
Well, what is that? Well, that's the purple plague. See? Now, here's the guy who set up the rules. Here's one of the guys who set up the organization. He thought that he can control it with the other three. But it's out of control. It's a plague now. It's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. And this is one of the original four. And he's mad. Why? Because it's gotten out of control. Trying to get the audio to work here, Saints. Just bear with me 1 minute. Okay. Come on now. Let's get to work here. We have an audience who's waiting. I do apologize for that, Saints. Let me move on to the next video, and let's see if that will work. Okay, let's... What's going on here? What's going on here? Okay. What's going on here? Let's see. Let's see if I can bring this up. Okay. Let's see here. Here's this woman now who's commenting on this thing about this purple plague. Listen to this. Hold on. Just bear with me. Okay. It's coming up now. Come on, fellas. Well, Saints, while we're working on the audio, you see, you're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with the sin nature. When you're dealing with the sin nature, you're dealing with rebels. You're dealing with Nimrods. Remember Nimrod? What does his name mean? Rebels. These bishops are his offspring. They're little Nimrods. They're little rebels. They will listen to no one. They will listen to no one. Why? Because they're in a rebellious state. They're in a rebellious state. So, my dear brothers and sisters, what can you and I expect? What can we expect when these bishops are just complete rebels? Do you think that their followers, if these bishops who started this thing, started it by rebelling against the Lord Jesus Christ, now, what do you think their offspring is going to be? Rebels. They're rebels. Their kids are going to be rebels. Then they want their kids to behave. But they have your spiritual DNA. You're a rebel. You rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're having a hard time here with this audio. Just horrible time here. It's not this thing ain't working. So let me just take this down. Come here. Bonding, dear saints. Nothing. Well, that'll do it for today. We're gonna have to leave it there because I can't pull up any audio. It's just not happening. It's not happening. Well, that's it. That is our 12th proposition. That's our 12th proposition. That's it. We presented it, and that'll do it for today's broadcast. We love you in Jesus. We'll be back tomorrow. We hope that tomorrow everything will be all right, that we can do, we can clean out this laptop and make sure that everything, all the bugs are out, and we can continue to do our broadcast with the great excellence that we always present it in. Well, that'll do it today. Love you in Jesus. Tune in tomorrow. God bless you, saints. Amen.